The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Well, we hit a bit of dead air there for a few minutes, but the reason why is because the entire internet connection went down. It just flaked out entirely. And
apparently there were problems down in Portland, too.
Yeah, and Greg Hughes was just saying, before we got disconnected, he was saying he was having some flaky issues. So I don't know if this is a West Coast thing or just a local thing or what, but I might want to check the internet traffic report to find out. And there is such a thing to find out if bandwidth was impacted, you know, beyond where we're at.
Maybe we had too many callers.
Right. Our one caller who we have on the bridge right now, Sean Alexander. Well, why don't we go ahead and bring him in before anything else happens? Sean, wait, I've got to let him in. Sean, Mr. Alexander, Sean, hello.
Well, Chris, we can hear him.
Yes, we're here.
How's it going?
It's going well. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Apparently, the cable company didn't want us doing this tonight.
No, I certainly know what I'm doing.
So you're calling in on your cell phone.
That's right. We're a part of the digital age, so we don't have long distance on our home phone line. But, of course, the real reason is that we have a 19-month-old son, and, well, we didn't want him dialing China. So we use our cell phones for local long distance.
Now, well, you're connected to broadband, correct?
That's right. I'm on Comcast out here, where we live.
Yeah, I do, too. Do you have or have you considered going to a VoIP solution for calls? Like Vonage?
You mean, voice over IP? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you know, that's something that we've been investigating. You know, as you know, I've been playing around with Skype quite a bit. And
yep.
Just starting to get into that. And, you know, it's a very interesting topic. I mean, it's been about, 10 years that people have been talking about the promise of voice over IP, and it's great to see that, you know, now there's actually consumer products starting to show up on the market that make it easier for you to bridge between, you know, traditional telephony and, you know, voice over IP networks. So, you know, oftentimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and, you know, you're somewhere in between, right?
That, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're our third live caller tonight, and we're doing it a bit differently than we normally plan on doing it, just seeding the number out to people we know instead of people we don't know, because the screening process hasn't been perfected. But essentially, this is using a VoIP network. I may sound funny to you, but when the recording is actually posted to the web after it's live, it'll sound so much better.
Great.
But, I just got hooked up with Vonage or Vonage, and it just started working today. So, and it sounds, in my mind, sounds exactly like a regular phone line from my experience with it in just a short amount of time. And I'm on Comcast, too. But we opened up a phone bill a few weeks ago, and they were charging us some, like, $50 for stuff that we didn't order. And I was like, that's it. We're getting voice over IP. I'm done with the local landlines.
Wow.
That was the nail on the casket for me.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to take a look at. I think Comcast, their key differentiating feature there is that they have a battery backup that they provide you with. So I guess if there's a power outage or anything like that, you know, they'll continue to offer phone service. So, yeah, we spent some time comparing prices, and you never know. That might be a direction that we'll head here in the near future.
Sure, and if you wanted to play with anything, if anything I can give you access to, it's no problem. We're friends. I know you're not going to hack me or anything, are you? I'm probably coming across pretty garbled, aren't I? Uh-oh.
Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sean, we can hear you just fine. I'm going to have to type this in. We can hear you. This interview is going to be transcribed.
We're still in the experimental phases of the phone calls.
Yes, apparently. Hang on. Let's.
Did we lose the call?
I'm trying something.
Oh, there we go. Now
okay.
I can hear you.
Yeah, apparently my connection. We're using. You got to see the setup over here, Sean. You're going to love it. We're using a soft phone or a software phone to connect to a bridge, an Asterisk server that's sitting somewhere else, and it has to be connected to the bridge where Ponzi transferred you when you called in. And so then
yep.
I basically have to be connected to that bridge in order for the you. in order for us to hear you. So apparently my soft phone decided to disconnect, and so we were kind of disconnected even though we were still connected. So you're still there.
Gotcha.
Now, today apparently something was just announced to do with audio, correct?
That's right. In fact, I woke up this morning and saw an email that was from the development team that said that MSN Remote Record for Media Center Edition has officially launched, which is a really neat feature, something that we actually first showed off at the Reviewer's Workshop, I guess, for Media Center Edition back in August of last year. It was a very early prototype, but basically what it allows you to do is you could just go to the tv.msn.com homepage, and they have a full electronic programming guide there where you can see all the different TV programs that are on. Go ahead and click on any individual TV program, and you can remotely set your media center now to go ahead and record any one of those TV programs for free. The only thing that's required is actually a passport account. So just set up a free passport account, and if you have a Media Center Edition 2005 system, you can go ahead and set it to remotely record. I've been testing it out here for a number of months, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I've actually been out on the road and had folks such as you tell me about a TV program that I should check out, and I can go ahead and set my media center back at home to go ahead and record it, and then of course one of my other favorite third party apps is Orb, which allows me to even watch my media center TV program sitting in my hotel room, again streaming right off of my media center PC from home.
Yeah, I just set up Media Center Edition 2005 the other day, so I'm running that. It's great, by the way. It's a great experience. It's really the first time I've had a chance to dive into 2005, and I'm definitely having fun with it. It's real intuitive. It has some issues with, like, when I try to record The Daily Show, I just want it to record one, and it seems, even though if I say just record the first run, it seems to be ignoring my preferences. So I don't know if it's just a configuration issue on my side or not. But I'm still kind of, like I said, I'm still kind of playing with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one personally, but we should definitely follow up and see what's going on there. But it's pretty cool. I mean, as you know, I was the group product manager for Media Center Edition. Did that for about the last year before taking my new tour of duty. Media Center is just such an exciting product. I'm actually for those who have read my blog know that I tend to be, as the blog's named, addicted to digital media. So I have the new Comcast box, which is powered by Microsoft TV. I have Media Center PCs in the house. And, one thing that we're really hardcore on is before any customer actually uses the product, we use it, in our own homes and, put our own families in front of it. And you've probably heard me talk about the spousal acceptance factor. It's actually an informal metric that we have on the team. So as we're testing builds from week to week, we actually take them home, dog food them, as we call it, and check it out. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. And, it's kind of a dream job for me to be able to work on this stuff.
You've got, you've got a group on Flickr. That is it just by invite only, but are these people who essentially have Media Center Editions or really nice setups of Media Center Editions?
Yeah, this is actually something I started playing with over the holidays. I took some time off and just kind of dug back into technology and went deep to check out what was going on the internet. And, came across Flickr and was really impressed by the service. And I really like the annotation feature. I thought, it would be really cool to kind of take the ABS forum type of concept and take it to the next level with the ability to go ahead and annotate your pictures and kind of share, individuals' different designs for the media centers, either be it a home theater, be it a desktop-style environment. So what I did was it's actually a public group. It's just up at flickr.com/groups/mediacenter as a single word. And created a pool. I went ahead and annotated our media center setup down in the living room, showed an extender that we have up in the bedroom, and then also, our den PC is also a media center PC that I built myself. And, the neat thing about it is the feedback that I started getting from other people. We're now up to over, I think we're now approaching 70 different photos up on the Flickr pool from just mainstream consumers. I mean, mainstream people like you and I who have Media Center PCs that just want to kind of share and swap ideas in terms of decoration and just how to set it up. I've received emails from folks over in the UK talking about their media center setups. I mean, you can see that there's a lot of PAL-based TVs, so you can see it's overseas as well as here in the States. And it's just kind of become this thing and took off on its own. And yeah, it's just kind of neat to swap ideas and get inspired by it.
You know, I'd hope that someone internally is watching what's happening with Flickr in relation to TiVo. Have you caught this?
Yeah, I read about that the other day, yeah.
It would be a shame if the media center, someone couldn't develop a plug-in that would enable something very similar, a similar experience on the media center platform.
No, I agree. In fact, one of the really neat things for me about media center, especially as I've kind of stepped away from managing the product and can kind of look at it as an enthusiast, is the third-party development, just the enthusiast community that started to build around it. As you know, a number of months ago, one of our enthusiasts wrote a Netflix app, basically allows you to go ahead and browse your Netflix queue. You can go ahead and add movies. You can go ahead and see the top listed movies and new or recent additions into the Netflix system. And that's all using RSS feeds that they make available today as a part of their APIs. And guys spent a couple days. I mean, programming for Media Center is pretty much just HTML. It's DHTML and a little bit of web scripting. And it's kind of taken off. I mean, another good example is eBay. So I woke up this morning and saw that two guys on thegreenbutton.com are talking about an eBay plugin that they're both developing independently of each other.
Wow.
So the nice thing is, the two apps are called MC eBay and eAuction. So they actually have some screenshots up there. I know I posted it on my blog this morning. It's just blog.seanalexander.com. And, it's neat. I mean, it's so exciting to be able to wake up in the morning and find out new and unique things that people are building with the platform. And, I mean, that's definitely something that I'm evangelizing internally, is that we need to do more of that. We have folks like Charlie Owen.
Yeah, I met Charlie.
Charlie's in charge of actually working with our Tier 1 partners, such as Napster or MovieLink or CinemaNow, in terms of getting their applications up and running inside the Media Center. And he's also, along with Ethan Zoller, who's another Microsoft blogger, the two of them pretty much wrote the SDK for Media Center, along with a couple of additional folks out of our eHelm group. So he's constantly posting code snippets up on his blog, talking about different ways that you can take advantage of the platform. And given my developer tools roots, when I first joined Microsoft, I worked back in the developer group. I mean, it's just great to be able to get back into that and see people, spending a little time, doing a weekend project and coming up with something cool that other people think is neat.
How long have you been at Microsoft? And I'm asking this question for a reason. I want to springboard it into what you're working on now, your official new title. So how long have you been there?
Sure. Well, I've been with Microsoft for 7 years. So I was pretty much hired out of school by Microsoft, directly into the developer group, and was a technical product manager on Visual Studio for about 2 years, at which time I actually moved over into what was at that time the streaming media group. We were working on Windows Media Player 6.4. It had actually just been released. And, worked on that team, and the team continued to evolve, and new opportunities avail themselves, and eventually I found myself working on Media Center Edition. And then most recently, as I mentioned before, about 2 months ago, shortly after presenting on stage at the Windows Digital Entertainment Anywhere launch in October for Media Center Edition, I was asked to take on a new role working on Longhorn. So specifically now I'm the group product manager for Longhorn Consumer.
Now, what does that mean? When you say group product, even I don't understand what that means. Can you say, in English, really, what your responsibility with Longhorn, and this is, of course, the beta name for the next version of Windows, Consumer.
Sure. So I'm a part of basically a team that's responsible for the core marketing of the product, as well as defining what the scenarios are for end users. We do a lot of research, primary and secondary research, looking at how are customers using the products today? What do they like? What do they dislike about Windows XP, for example? What are the feature areas that we should be investing the most in? And just continuing to do that type of research and working directly with the development teams in terms of identifying where the key areas that we should be investing in.
That's
an iterative process that that continues over time. And while I can't talk about what I'm working on specifically right now, I can tell you this. I took the job about 60 days ago, about 70 days ago now. And boy, I'm just so excited to be able to start talking about what I'm working on. Just unfortunately, the time isn't right now.
So when are we going to be able to really talk about, you know, what we can expect to see in Longhorn?
Stay tuned. I can't talk about it yet.
Yeah,
that would be what we call a career limiting maneuver. But one of the things that I will absolutely dedicate myself to, as you know, Chris, I've been blogging for two and a half, three years ago, and you're really the guy who got me turned on to RSS between you and Robert Scoble and a couple of additional folks. That's something that we definitely want to do. I mean, we want to talk publicly about what we're working on. We just need to make sure that it's the right time, that we're able to present in such a way that's really going to make sense.
So,
and make people excited about what we're working on.
Is it going to be another one of those things? They've really kind of – I was even surprised. I didn't hear anything on the back channel regarding Internet Explorer 7. In fact, last I knew, they were still looking at the Longhorn final release time frame. You know, what's your – and I mean, you can speak with a Microsoft hat on or off. It's up to you. But what was your feeling when you heard that IE7 was going to be developed outside of Longhorn?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can't speak for that team specifically. What I can tell you is that I did go to a party about 2 weeks ago, and ran into Dean Hakamovich, who's the group manager for the IE team.
Yeah.
He and my wife had actually worked together for a number of years, and he runs the IE blog off of MSDN, I think it's blogs.msdn.com/IE, and Dean actually goes into some pretty in-depth detail about the decision-making process behind IE7, and the only thing I could say there about is that it's another one of those opportunities where we're taking time to talk to our customers and listen to our customers. And you look at what Dean's done; he asked for comments about IE. What do people like? What do they want to see? And I think that he was up to over 700 comments last time I saw, and that's just great to see. I mean, that's the type of dialogue that I think needs to happen more often, and we need to be more transparent about that in terms of being able to ask our customers about what they want. I mean, if you could do a Google search on my name on Google News, you'll find that in the Usenet news groups, I used to ask all the time what features people wanted in the products that I was working on, and I wouldn't necessarily get the same level of detail that I'm seeing with blogging. Now I can go ahead and say, what media center asks you do you want to see created? Or say, what kind of features do you want to see developed for future features of the Media Center? And people start the dialogue or continue the dialogue with me and with each other. I mean, there have been examples where people have provided their own wish lists for Media Center applications, and another person would say, oh, by the way, I'm working on that.
Mm.
And there's just a general sense of collaboration, I think, is something that the two was really founded upon. And for a short amount of time, some people moved away from that, but there are a number of us within Microsoft, people like Ethan Zahr, like Owen, like myself, like Robert Scoble, who feel that it's important for us to be able to be accessible to our customers and get excited about the products that you work on. I mean, this isn't a job for me. I mean, this is a lifestyle. I mean, I get fired up at the beginning of the day, and I get fired up at the end of the day. When I think about the types of things I get to work on. It's just so cool.
Well, I know from Ponzi's perspective, she wants to see more stuff for women. This is what she always tells me.
Absolutely.
More style. She wants style. That's she.
More style.
Yes.
Should we get like Cosmo.com on Media Center?
You know what? let's kind of keep that towards the geeky side, of the family experience. I just soon not have like frills, around my options. You're talking about Dean, and how do you pronounce his last name? How do you pronounce Dean's last
name? Hatamovich. Hatamovich.
Okay, hopefully I got that right. I track-backed his post when they came out and announced IE7, and he actually followed up on my blog and wrote a response. So I asked Robert if he knew how to get a hold of Dean, and almost immediately he did. And I suggested a few things to Dean, and he was very, very open and very receptive to opening up the dialogue further, like, you know, what you've done when we've gotten together at various summits on Microsoft's campus. That's, I can tell you from my experience, it's just been absolutely fantastic to have an actual dialogue with folks at Microsoft. It's not just, in my opinion, and I've seen things happen, this isn't just talk. You're not talking about doing it. You're actually engaging in the conversation. I've experienced that several times with several departments in Microsoft.
Well, you know, it's the only way that we're going to make better products. I mean, we have to understand our customers. It's always a trade-off in terms of, you know, prioritizing individual features and future areas. But, you know, what we're trying to do is look for those opportunities to really deliver something that's exciting for people. And you, Chris, you know, you and I have had a number of discussions about, you know, the perceived deficits in areas that we should be continuing to invest in. So, I mean, that's definitely something that we want to continue doing for. And in fact, you know, one of the things that blogging kind of inspired me to start this whole Geek Dinner thing. I know that Charlie Owen and a couple folks, again, on the Media Center team around the holidays, again, up in the Seattle area, decided, hey, let's go ahead and try this Geek Dinner idea out. Let's get everybody together for some barbecue over at the local strip mall. And next thing you know, they had, if I remember correctly, it was about 30 people who showed up, and they brought some Media Center PCs for people to be able to check out. And it was just, it was great. It was a great experience. So that inspired me to go ahead and set up with Thomas Hawk, who is a local in the San Francisco area, a Geek Dinner at Intel's Developer Forum next week in San Francisco.
On
March 2nd. Yeah, on March 2nd, we're actually going to do, again, this is totally casual, just a Geek Dinner at Henry Zudon Restaurant, which is on 110 Natoma, on March 2nd at 7 o'clock. And, Thomas is going to co-host, and the neat thing is I started sending emails out to other people in the industry that we work with. So, you know, I have some friends that work over at API, have some friends at Intel, some friends at Nivius, you know, they're a maker of high-end Media Center PCs, and they're all coming out. You know, the ATI guys are coming out. One of the directors is coming out. Nivius, the president and CEO of Nivius, is actually going to come out, and they're going to bring one of their latest generation of the Media Center PCs so that they can, you know, crack open the hood and people can take a look at it. So it's, you know, it's kind of neat. I mean, the feedback that I've received so far in doing this, just, again, it's for me, it's gotten me fired up again. I mean, I've been, like we talked about, I've been at Microsoft for 7 years. It's a long time. But the amount of enthusiasm that I see today, the amount of interest in continuing to have that dialogue like we're talking about, it's really exciting to see. So anybody who's out there in San Francisco, feel free to join us at Henry's Hunan on 110 Natoma on March 2nd.
And of course you'll have, or if you've already got information posted to your blog.
That's right. It's on my blog. It's on Thomas Hawk's blog. I think he also posted it to thegreenbutton.com. So it's a Media Center Geek Dinner, and good opportunity to meet a bunch of folks on the hardware side of the Media Center team that work directly with the builders of PCs, both what we call OEMs or PC manufacturers, as well as ODMs, those are original device manufacturers that resell their designs to different companies.
Well, I can tell you, Sean, that Ponzi keeps sending me nudges on MSN Messenger 7.0, which is where it shakes the whole window, and she keeps doing this and indicating that she wants to have you and your entire family, if they want, on a Chris Perillo show at some point in the near future.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that would be fun. As you know, my wife used to work at Microsoft as well, and decided to raise her son full time here about 9 months ago. And the neat thing for me is, if you look at things like the launch that we did for Digital Entertainment Anywhere, the Media Center, just being able to balance work and life, and you know, bring my family into it. I mean, we are a digital media family, so to speak.
You're really going to – I can tell you this with 100% assurance. You're going to really enjoy one of the speakers that I'm lining up for Gnomedex, Julie Leung, who I heard present at Northern Voice this weekend up in Vancouver. And after seeing her finish her presentation, I went up to her. I said, you are speaking at Gnomedex. She's from the area. I think she's in Puget Sound. But she did a presentation that was based on photos. So the photos were her PowerPoint slides. But then she discussed how or what it was like to put your family online in the blogosphere and the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads. And it was very, very interesting, very compelling. It was probably one of the more unique experiences or presentations I've ever seen, you know, not just on blogging or, you know, involving the family in that conversation, but just an interesting presentation in general. So I can't wait. If you haven't met Julie yet, you will have the opportunity to meet her. I can't wait to connect you with a few other geeks I've met.
Oh, I look forward to it. And, you know, I understand that he had Steve Gilmore on right before me. I just wanted to say, you know, if Steve's listening, love to hear more on the Gilmore Gang. Listen to it on my my Zen Touch, you know, every morning on my drive into work.
So. See, I think
every week on my drive into work.
I think the Gilmore Gang is kind of under that Longhorn type of embargo. I don't know. I question whether or not I could ask anything on that. But I think hopefully Steve will. His voice will be resurrected at some point in the future. Steve's one of those guys that literally you can just give him one word and he'll go on for a half hour. It was just great to have him on.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's great to have you on, too. I mean, I'm like, we didn't know.
I appreciate it and look forward to Gnomedex. That'd be fun.
Yeah, well, we're planning on it.
Say again?
Ponzi won't let me say anything about anything until we have contracts signed. But it's coming. It's coming.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait for it. It'll be a good time.
So, Sean, I'll let you go. Thanks again for spending this quality time that you had with us, and hopefully it was just as good a time as you would have had watching the UFO special with Peter Jennings. I'm if I don't catch that, I don't know if my media center is recording it, but I'm going to watch it too. So,
there you go. Excellent. Well, I appreciate the time, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks again, Sean. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Chris. All right. Bye.
That was Sean Alexander, and Sean, a good friend of mine for a couple years, and I think we met. I think I may have inadvertently offended him when we first met. I was speaking at a conference in Las Vegas, and I made a remark about Windows Movie Maker, and. It was kind of it wasn't an offhanded remark, but I have certain strong opinions when it comes to software. But then after that, you know, Sean and I were talking, we opened a dialogue, and as he said, I kind of got him going on the whole RSS thing. I don't know how instrumental I was in getting him to start blogging, but he's definitely stuck with it and has been featured on Slashdot, so he's been Slashdotted, and is still very much an active part of the Windows Media community. He's obviously, as he's mentioned, moved on to Longhorn, but is still very passionate about that, the home experience and the media experience. And as you said, as you heard him say, he misses the Gilmore Gang, which of course was a podcast, and he'd listen to it on his way to work or to and from work. So someone at Microsoft in the media center place of things is understanding how podcasts, maybe there's an equation to be set up there. You never know. Maybe we'll catalyze a few more conversations. But right now, I want to take another quick breather.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.